Today, our guest is for Climate Smart Glacier Country. We have Flathead Conservation District Resource Conservationist Samantha Tappenbeck. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning. Excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you.
All right, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty here. What are natural resources?
Yeah, natural resources are, you know, components of the environment that have some kind of intrinsic value to them.
Okay. So I don't know why there's confusion about that, but I think there is.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, I think, would be inclined to think of, like, materials that are extracted, like minerals, oil, that kind of thing. But really, it's any part of the environment with some kind of value. And so what we deal with at the Conservation District are those natural resources like water, soil, and living things on the landscape.
Like insects?
Yeah, definitely insects. That's part of it. You know, when it comes to water, we're looking at things like water quality and water quantity. And so water quality is basically how clean is the water for the different uses that we need it for. And then water quantity is how much of the water is out there and available on the landscape for use.
Here in Northwest Montana, we got a lot of water.
We have abundant water. We're very blessed with that.
You know, when Robin and I were in Denver in the early 1980s, and the big deal in Denver was, let's go to Lake Powell. We can go down to Lake Powell and we can float around for a whole weekend on a houseboat, and it was beautiful because you had all the red rocks all around you and everything. There's not a whole lot of Lake Powell left.
Right.
They had to let the Glen Canyon Dam out. And they're not getting the power out of that they used to get, but that Lake Powell is like a mud puddle now.
Yeah, I mean, the West is dealing with, you know, it's an arid environment, generally speaking, and they're dealing with some major water issues. Here in the Flathead, we're very fortunate that we have high country that builds up a lot of snowpack in the wintertime and feeds our major water systems for the rest of the country.
What can we do to protect that?
Yeah, good question. You know, when we think about those natural resources like water, soils, land, the living things on the landscape, they at times come under pressure, right? So we've got the environment that is potentially stressed by a number of different stressors, and those stressors include things like climate change. And so climate change is, you know, resulting in warmer average temperatures overall, more extremes in weather, things like lower snowpacks and droughts, which is a big issue in the West right now. There's change in the timing and rhythm of these natural systems, which has some pretty implications in terms of putting pressure on those systems. So that, you know, would include things like earlier spring runoff and even, you know, the bloom time of certain flowers like glacier lilies in the springtime and how that aligns with the herbivores and the pollinators that depend on the appearance of those flowers at certain times. So those are kind of some of the concerns associated with climate change.
So when you're talking about natural resources, you're talking about all these things that kind of operate together. You know, it affects the wildlife, the pollinators. Now, what about the health of the soil in Montana? Is it, say, compared to the early 20th century, what kind of shape are we in?
Yeah, so, you know, conservation districts were formed back during the Dust Bowl days, a really difficult time for our country where there was a major drought impacting much of the arid West and Midwest. And really, that was a big turning point because our soils were being so heavily degraded and eroded. And conservation districts were formed to be that local contact to help advise landowners on how best to protect their soils and those natural resources they depend on. So we've come a long way since then, but we've still got some challenges ahead. I mean, there's a huge amount of practices that go on in agricultural systems that tend to denigrate the soil and the very complex soil food web that we all depend on.
Now, I've seen pictures of the big combines out in the fields or tilling the soil. I mean, in corporate farming, they cover a lot of ground very quickly, but I believe that they have the ability to use water now to try to tamp things down at the same time that they're tilling. So those pictures we saw of the Dust Bowl, the topsoil blowing away, are there ways to protect that now?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of practices that are still ongoing in conventional agriculture that involve the tilling of soil, and there are some strategies with that conventional agriculture where you can try to control some of that erosion blowing off the landscape. But really, best bet when it comes to natural resources is kind of non-conventional practices that are becoming more and more popular as people realize the importance of protecting the integrity of the soil. So like no-till agriculture and the amount of equipment that has been developed in recent years to support those kinds of non-conventional practices.
You know, we've been going here for several minutes and we have yet to talk about growth and development. Man.
Yeah, that's a major challenge and another major stressor on our natural resources here. Yeah. I mean, you know, as more and more people live in the Flathead, they're using the resources. We all share our natural resources that are here in the Flathead, and that tends to put a lot of stress onto those resources that are potentially already stressed by other environmental factors.
Let's get into the concept of land stewardship and conservation.
Yeah, so stewardship, you know, really that is true stewardship is where, you know, for natural resources, there are benefits for the individual, the collective, and then the natural resources themselves. There are different strategies out there for protecting natural resources, conserving water, and there are these best management practices, which we try to encourage, that protect, again, you know, the individual, the collective, being everyone that's sharing those resources and the resources themselves.
So, talk about some of these strategies.
Yeah, so I can give you some examples of some, you know, land stewardship practices that we try to promote. So, you know, one really important one is landscaping with native plants. So, you know, again, those natural resources are found on the land and they include living things. When people, you know, move to an area, develop an area, it really changes the landscape and it fragments what is an otherwise natural habitat that a lot of things depend on, people and wildlife alike. So if you, you know, decide to do a project where you want to benefit natural resources in some way, an easy one is to landscape with native plants. And that will do things like restore habitat, and the connectivity of that habitat on the landscape. So it provides forage and shelter for wildlife, and it creates drought-tolerant landscapes that are more resilient in the face of climate change. And those plants actually clean the air, and they create what we call a carbon sink. And so, you know, those plants, as they grow and develop, are removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, which helps offset the impacts of climate change.
Now, what about lawn alternatives? Lawnmowers out there, listen up.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody wants that nice green turf lawn, right? And they get out there and they have to mow it all season long. They potentially are throwing fertilizer down on it, trying to manage their weeds and stuff. But actually, there's a lot of really great alternatives to lawn out there that help to conserve water. They may even clean the water. They can reduce that fertilizer pollution, provide habitat, and save time and energy for the people that are looking to manage that space on their property. So some things include things like xeriscaping, where you're looking to put in more drought-tolerant plants, less grass that requires daily watering. It might include things like building a rain garden on your property. So rather than a turf lawn, you build a rain garden that will capture runoff from like your roof and your driveway, and it'll gather it in one area on your lawn, and it's planted with a diversity of native plants that then absorb and clean that water as it makes its way down into the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I've seen the rainwater barrels before, but I don't know where the water goes after it hits the barrel.
You know? I think those rain barrels are usually used to capture that same runoff that would be coming off your roof, down your gutter, downspouts. And then that's a great way to conserve water, because otherwise it would just run off onto the landscape. But then you can use it to water your garden or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, talking about the alternatives to plants, one of the things that I was wondering about is, are the minerals in our soil as good today as they were a century ago?
Well, the minerals, I would say, probably would be. You know, when it comes to good soil, what we're looking for is a soil with a healthy, what we call microbiome. So that soil food web below ground that's undisturbed, and it includes things like microbes and fungi and all of the insects and spiders and centipedes, all those things that depend on the food web that's down in the soil itself. And then importantly, in addition to the mineral material that makes up our soil, is a lot of organic matter creates very fertile soil. And so things like tillage tend to disrupt that healthy soil profile and change the way that it holds water and potentially provides the essential nutrients that plants need to grow and develop.
Now, what is the alternative? You get the rototiller out, you have to till the soil to prepare it for planting.
Yeah, it's kind of an issue of scale, you know? At some point, it is more effective to go out and till a small garden space or something like that. But as you scale up, you know, some of those larger scale, like agricultural practices, you can have a lot of benefits from switching over to those non-conventional approaches like no-till agriculture. And so you're using equipment that will, rather than churn up the soil profile deep into the ground, it essentially like spreads it apart, drops a seed, and closes it back up. So then you're able to maintain that profile in its natural state and not disturb the soil profile.
Now, instead of on the farm, what can we as individuals do? What are some of the programs and resources we have at our fingertips?
Yeah, fortunately here in Flathead County, there's a lot of resources available to landowners to help do some of these, you know, best management practices. Flathead Conservation District offers a number of landowner assistance programs where we attempt to provide resources to landowners here in Flathead County to help conserve and benefit the natural resources on their property. And so some of those programs that we offer, you know, are relevant to some of the things we've been talking about today. So we offer a seedlings program where landowners can place orders at very reasonable prices for conservation seedlings available from the state nursery down in Missoula. So say they're looking to do a reforestation project or a windbreak to protect their property and their soil health. So they can purchase seedlings for those plantings and get some resources and technical guidance as well on how to do those types of projects.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Where should I plant them? You get that assistance too.
Yeah, definitely. We can work with landowners, help determine your soil type and what might work best there and help you develop a plan.
Now, one of the things we've always heard is when the pollinators are out of the picture, we're in trouble.
So where do we
stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, pollinators, again, are facing a lot of stressors from the environment. And so, you know, we rely so heavily on insect pollinators for not only our agricultural crops, but our natural systems and the vegetation growing in our natural landscapes. So we at the district offer what we call our Flathead Pollinator Initiative, where we provide free wildflower seed to landowners that are interested in providing a different or a pollinator habitat on their property. So it's real easy to sign up. You can sign up and then you can get a free packet of wildflower seed, which contains a whole diversity of wildflowers, mostly native, that are going to provide forage and, importantly, availability of food resources throughout the growing season. So there's a whole range of flower colors and types and bloom times that last the whole duration of the season.
Oh, that's nice. Now, you mentioned rain gardens. Is there help for, I don't have a clue how to put one together.
Yeah, and that's the kind of help that we offer. So we've got a lot of great resources available to landowners. If they are interested in building a rain garden on their property, we've got a really great do-it-yourself workbook where you can work through the steps of how to build a rain garden. And then we've got some incentive programs where if you participate, you can get some assistance with purchasing native plants to then plant in your rain garden.
Well, so how do we plug into these, all these help ideas?
Yeah, so you can contact our office. We're here local. The Flathead Conservation District office is over in Evergreen, but we also have a great website, which is flatheadcd.org, where you can go and find out a lot of information about the programs we offer.
CD, Conservation District.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Flatheadcd.org.
You got it.
Okay. Right. And that's our the way we can get input into and get some help.
Yep, and you can get our contact information as well. You know, folks are always stopping by the office and being like, hey, I'm interested in this. You know, do you have anything or some guidance that you might be able to provide? And we do those kinds of consultations often.
You know, I grew up here, and I'm not sure I know what native plants are anymore.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of non-native plants that have made their way into the Flathead. That is for sure. But, you know, when it comes, relatively speaking, mm-hmm. we're in a pretty pristine place. We're, you know, pretty fortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we choose to try to be native and landscape with native plants, we're going to need some help.
Yeah, and we can offer guidance on that and, you know, how best to set up those kinds of projects that you have interest in so that they align with your goals for your property.
All right. So give us the contact information again.
All right. So the Flathead Conservation District is located over in Evergreen. We're at 133 Interstate Lane. Our phone number is 752-4220. And then our website is flatheadcd.org.
All right. Samantha, that's a tremendous amount of information this morning. Some of it a little more technical than what I could
perhaps
handle.
Too much information.
Well, no, I don't think so at all. I think it's very, very good and stimulating, and it makes me want to know more.
Great. Yeah.
Whet the appetite of the audience. They can go online and learn more and take advantage of the programs.
Absolutely.
And start asking you questions.
Yes, please do. I encourage it.
All right. Samantha Tappenbeck, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.